If you're just trying to stay with the expanses of desert, yes, most desert expanses look different.
Yeah.
I'm speaking up for any fucking Red Rock Arizonian that's going to be like, have you seen Sedona?
You can't replicate the Grand Canyon in the Sahara now, can you? Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I know a little bit about Doctor Who now. I know enough to talk to people when I go out in public and they say, hey, you ever heard of this little show called Doctor Who? And I go, yes, I have.
And today you're sort of learning less because we're going back a little bit here.
No.
I had wanted to do Dreamland as a series of minisodes.
No.
Yeah, I had wanted to, and then we immediately after recording that first episode proceeded to get into, I think, three of the busiest months of our lives.
I mean, I feel like we started it at the, like, very crest of the, I'll call it holiday season. But by holiday season, I mean September until right now.
Yeah. And so we just ran out of time. And I was like, at this point, it doesn't feel like we can do it as many episodes. So we'll just do all of it at once. We're going to do all of it at once.
Hooray. I am so excited to return back to this thing that I love.
This thing that I think you and I both only kind of remember.
I just remember how gloopy their movements are. Like, not gloopy feels more like liquid. They move around like less flexible Gumby.
Yeah, it's very PS2 era kind of. Sega Genesis holographics.
It's very Cybertruck movements. Like almost a car, but not quite.
I also decided to do this here because it conveniently leads into the next season a little bit, because the next season also takes place in the American West.
Aha. Uh-huh.
In fact, I think they both take place in Utah. So
The UK really likes Utah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because they both start with...
Or is it New Mexico? Either way, they both take place in the American West
in
the desert.
I wonder if it's because they both start with U. It's the only country they can find.
It was really just more of an aesthetic decision. I think at that point was just, hey, we get one more little lead into it and then we can start the season proper. And it's sort of a midpoint between us doing Doctor Fashion and doing a proper show again. So, Dreamland, this aired before David Tennant's finale. But it was streamed as a series of shorts that then all came together as one whole story when the last one was broadcast.
Uh-huh.
I still haven't seen all of Dreamland. I have only seen the parts that you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do a proper Cassie Brafassi for this one.
No.
So instead, we're going to do a Cassie Brafassi, Zachy Brafacky competition.
I wrote it down as competing profikies.
Yeah. a profetition. We are going to try and both of us are going to come up with stuff that we think happens in this episode. And whoever gets
in but now when you say in this episode, you mean in this episode of our show. So in all of the Dreamland.
Yeah, in all of Dreamland. I think it's also fair to say we can't predict stuff that we know already happened. Like, we've seen the first 12 minutes.
Yeah. So that was only 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That felt like 1,200 years of my life gone.
Yeah, we saw about a third of it so far. So we've still got 2/3 of it left. How much of it do you remember at this point? I'm curious.
I remember that the doctor's companion in this is a waitress.
Yes. Who's also named Cassie.
Who's also named Cassie.
And played by David Tennant's wife.
So played by the doctor's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a Native American man.
Yeah. I remember that they...
It's something about aliens.
Yeah.
And
the military's partnered up with big bug aliens. And there's a little gray guy under the in an underground bunker that they're in.
Can I go on a little bit of a side note tangent for a
second? Sure, of course you can.
Have you heard the theory that gray aliens are just humans from the future time traveling to prevent whatever like chaos we ensue that could potentially destroy our own being?
I've not heard that theory. I know that fact, but I don't know. I'm kidding. I haven't heard that. It was
just because like all of the studies that have happened about like what humans might look like in, you know,
a million years or whatever.
Not a million years, but it much closer. And it's like head gets a little bit bigger, eyes get bigger, like posture gets worse, people get taller. And so there's, I am so angry, I can't remember the name of the man who is like proposing this into the like ufology zeitgeist, but it's a theory that gray aliens are humans from like way off into the future, which is why a lot of times it is very like there's no domination. Anytime you get the people that are like, I've had close encounters with the aliens, they said they mean us no harm, it's because it's just us being like, we are taking our, we're making sure you guys don't fucking blow up the planet because our existence depends on you fuckers existing.
It's a very Doctor Who kind of
it is. And that's why I thought about it. I was like, that's the first theory I've heard that I'm like, I can back that up.
Yeah,
I like that one. It makes sense. And it is fun then to pontificate and think about.
Well, speaking of pontificating and thinking about stuff,
we're going to watch something that does not allow us to pontificate or think whatsoever.
What do you think? What are some moments that you think might happen in this episode? You could be kind of vague. Like, think about the general way that I ask you Profassi questions. You could sort of lean into that idea. If you want an example of what I'm thinking about, I can give you that. Or if you want to come up with something on your own and you know, in the cavalcade of possibilities, you might steal the thought that I have.
I'm trying to think about what would look interesting in this medium. So far, nothing we've seen looks cool. So I don't want to say something so vague as, oh, something cool is going to happen, because that could be anything. Cool could literally be the doctor talking to a sentient raccoon. And I'd say, the doctor's having a full-blown conversation with Rocket. I don't think that will happen. I'm going to be just tickled pink if it does. Can you give me an example of what is rattling around in your little brain?
So my first thought is, like, knowing this takes place in the American West in the desert, I feel like at some point there's going to be a prairie dog. You know what I mean?
Can I, spoiler alert, prairie dogs aren't really in the desert though.
I know they aren't, but I feel
they are in the in the prairies.
Yeah, but I feel like this is, you know, remember, this is the UK's idea of America.
Yeah, I can piggyback off of that and say more animals are notorious with the American West is like,
I guess
I don't know, like maybe one of the beavers in the Rio Grande. Hey, Zach, did you know that there are over 200 beavers in the Rio Grande River in Texas?
I did, because that was your fun fact a few episodes ago.
I don't think beavers will be in this episode, but I could see them using like a coyote.
I'll say a rattlesnake. Okay, I want to go rattlesnake instead of prairie dog.
We said that at the same time.
We did say that at the same time. I'm going to say rattlesnake instead of prairie dog then.
Okay. I feel like that's a safe bet. Or like even like a burro.
Yeah, I'm going to stick.
Chupacabra.
I don't want to be like too broad and like feel like I'm cheating. So I'm going to specifically say rattlesnake.
Can I like branch off of that? Have it counted its own thing, but it's very similar idea.
Okay, of course.
For no other reason than I don't know the UK's, I don't know what the relationship is with cryptids overseas the same way that like here. just because every freaking state in the U.S. has its own cryptid. Whereas over in the U.K., a lot of it is more based off of like folklore. Yeah. And it's fae.
Yeah.
Less cryptid. But I could definitely see them maybe because they are in the U.S. pulling in some kind of American cryptid.
Okay.
Or having that be something spills out into the public, and then that is how it is consumed and digested, is that this thing that we understand to be the doctor or something having to do with the doctor, but in the general public having it be misunderstood as some kind of cryptid.
Okay.
I don't know how I would
I think cryptid down. Cryptid is there, like, there will be, I think we'll just say there will be a cryptid.
Cryptid because action.
Because that's such a...
Because it's not the, like, there will physically be a cryptid. It'll be something that is perceived as a cryptid.
Okay, well, we can take that.
So I'm going to call it cryptid action.
Okay.
A cryptid event.
Yeah, because that's...
Kind of like how if you have heart palpitations, it's not a heart attack. It is a cardiac event.
Yeah, I think that's...
This is a cryptid event.
Yeah, I think this is, a right blend of... broad and specific. How many of these do we want to do? Do we want to keep to my usual two, or do you want to do
two or three?
Okay, let's do three each then. So my next one. So I remember at the near the end of the clip that we saw, the first like chunk that we saw, the general and the bug guy were in cahoots. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're going to be responsible for each other's deaths.
Mm.
Like they will some one of them will turn on the other and kill them.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Is that racist? I was going to say something.
I mean, that could be the theory that something racist is going to happen with the Native American guy.
Yes. Because I was like, I could see them being like, and he turns into an eagle and flies away.
That's the question. When we say this, do we mean... narratively it's stereotypical, or do I mean one of the characters is going to be racist against him?
Yes. Can I choose both?
Those could I would say that you can only pick one of those two, but they can be your option two and three if you want.
No, maybe, I don't know. Something this one I'll just label something racism towards.
Well, I guess what I mean is something racist being done to the character, or is something racist being done to us where we're watching it on the TV? Like, because it could be that to him it's like a positive experience, but in the real world it's a yee.
I feel like it'll be more the latter.
More the yee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just say something racism towards.
Okay. Raises towards indigenous peoples. Yeah. Okay. With that, what do I want my third one to be?
I specifically chose three because I did not know you were doing this, and so I did not come into this prepared.
Oh, I didn't. I just had this
idea. You had the idea, but you had the idea because you and your wacky little Zachy brain already cooked up what your like things were going to be.
I hadn't actually. I had come up with that idea basically as soon as I said it.
I'm right. So.
All right. So third thing.
We're forgetting a very obvious thing is the doctor is a time traveler. So there's a non-zero chance.
Yeah.
That we go on a silly, wacky, wild time heist.
That is true. That is something that could happen. Tell you what, I'll say, I don't think either of the companions in this episode will step foot in the TARDIS.
I feel like that's a fair.
Yeah, like it's definitely something that could happen, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think either of them will step foot in the TARDIS. I don't think they travel in time. They don't travel in space. They don't even step inside it.
All right. So you are thinking that not only will neither of them travel in time or space, neither of them will step in the TARDIS.
Yeah, neither of them will even step foot inside the TARDIS.
I will then take the opposite stance. I think that both.
Okay.
That one or both will step foot in the TARDIS, and that there will be some time traveling.
Okay, I'll take that for sure.
Okay,
great. All right, cool. So let's finally finish off Dreamland and find out how much of our prophecies come true as we watch Dreamland.
Hooray! I am thrilled. Did that sound convincing?
No, not really.
Okay.
Attention, patriots. This is a call to arms for the bold, the brave, and the best. This nation needs you to step forward and join the ranks of an elite top secret task force. We're talking about none other than the legendary Area 69. Area 1969, that is. At Fort Funky Town, we don't run drills, we run dance floors. All our leisure suits come in camo, and all our medical staff are taught to treat disco fever. Also, all the BGs are four-star generals here. No idea if that was a smart decision, but who has time to think when you're learning how to moonwalk? Think you've got what it takes to shoot down terrorist insurgents and keep the nation moving and grooving? Then find your local recruiter and ask to join Area 1969, where disco isn't dead, it's deployed.
And we are back from Dreamland.
Ooh.
You know what that was, Cassie? That was betrayal. Betrayal from my favorite show, not to give me even a single point.
And what's meanwhile, what the matter, Zach? You so angry?
You so
I could feel your vindication the second that they put the damn thing in the back of their of the truck.
Yeah.
And you being a
no, this, it wasn't even vindication. It was fear. I was like, oh, no, they're too close to it. Something's going to happen. They're either going to take it out of the truck and they're going to step in it. It's going to be like at the end of the episode, they're all going to step in and go off together for a minute. And I'm going to lose that point. I felt it in my bones. I didn't think the TARDIS was even going to show up. I thought it might be like beginning and end, like not even beginning, really, because, well, you know, he didn't step out of it. But I thought it might just be like he walks back to the TARDIS and that's all we see of it. But the second someone went, oh, go back and fetch it, I went, oh, no.
Yup. I knew it.
And then there was a part in it where they're like wandering around in this old ghost town and they hear like a noise and it's like a hissing noise. And I went, rattlesnake? It wasn't a rattlesnake. It was one of those fucking bug aliens.
Viperox.
Yeah, the Viperox.
They even have the audacity of calling and naming it after another snake.
Right.
Just to spite you.
Just full betrayal.
I got
it. And also, not only did those two, the two like evil generals, like the bad army colonel and the bad Viperox general, not kill each other, they're both alive. Like, I could not have been harder smacked down on all three of my thoughts.
Like, I'm so pleasantly surprised and happy that there was no, like, blatant racism towards our boy Jimmy.
I might even still give you the point for it, though, because while it wasn't towards Jimmy, there was the part of it where, like, why are these people shooting bow and arrows in the 50s?
Yeah.
I'm still going to give you that point for that.
I don't feel like I earned it.
I mean, it wasn't quite the...
If for no other reason than because I learned this recently from playing Red Dead Redemption. Bow and arrows are a really great, quiet way of hunting. And if they know that the Viperox are sensitive towards sound, then they would clearly hear a kick of a gun.
Yeah.
So I can say I don't feel like I've earned that point because people still hunt with bow and arrow today.
Yeah.
For that reason, for it being a quiet method of hunt.
Yeah. It felt like, I don't know.
I'm sitting here explaining to you why it makes sense and why it is not that. Why is that insensitivity? I feel like it is tact.
I also feel like what you were going for was something about like the spirit world or finding your one with the animals or something like that.
Like there was a little bit of that I was
some brother bear bullshit, if you will.
Yeah, which again, very happy that there wasn't.
Yeah,
I do feel like the cop out of the cryptid event. I don't think I've earned the point because I do think somewhere in my subconscious I remembered this being about Roswell.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't catch any cryptid events, but still, you probably get, we'll say, 1.5 points. Because, like, you all, maybe...
At the end of the day, I certainly got...
More than zero.
100% more points than you did.
Yeah, you got infinite more points than I did because I got nothing. I got betrayed.
I can't even argue on your behalf.
Betrayed in the house I have built. Someone came in, saw the house I built.
Yeah,
and threw
I got
a brick
the good chair in the house that you built.
Betrayal.
Zowie.
I shall cry.
I'm just better at this game than
cry
you are.
Cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, well,
you got so much more experience doing prophecies than I do.
Cry yourself to sleep is a little bit of a joke because you did, in fact, fall asleep.
I had a headache. I didn't.
No. And I know you fell asleep because you were bored, because I also fell asleep a little bit because I was bored.
I will say I wasn't.
I got a heaviness in my eyes.
I wouldn't say
that
I was
would
bored.
Only have been cured through a nap the rest of the way through.
I wouldn't say I was bored. Bored is the wrong word for it. I will say visually I was unengaged because the animation just cannot match what the script wants to do.
Especially since we finished watching up the 4 episodes of Digital Circus they have on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because the CG in it is comparable. Like the 3D animation.
Like, yeah, like the general
like vibe. Attitude,
like the number
treatment,
the number of polygons might be the best way of putting it.
Sure.
Like it's like the rendering of the characters is not like super uber realistic. It's clearly made to look fake.
Well, because there's also something to be said of when you have 3D animation like this, it does not benefit at all from sticking to human physics.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, if you are a human face doing an expression, this does not capture subtlety.
Yeah.
In fact, there were a couple times that the doctor would do like a smirk or like raise an eyebrow that I clocked and went, okay, that's okay.
Yeah, David Tennant definitely got the most expression out of anybody. And I would imagine that's because they probably have they have so much reference footage of him. That they can
so much reference footage, and also you are paying attention to the doctor the most.
Yes.
If for no other reason than Jimmy and Cassie are both kind of unengaging.
Yeah.
The Viperox are alien the way that they make you interested in Lord Alcox.
I call him Captain Squeaky Eyes.
Yes, thank you. Is because his eyeballs make a squeak noise every time that he blinks. Yeah. Also, by the way, I think the BBC can only afford one eagle sound effect. Because
they really need to milk it for how much they spent on it.
You really need to be reminded that you are in the desert by, in fact, hearing the sound of one solemn eagle
going
over and over again. I think I counted 5 different times that they use this fucking bird sound effect.
Well, how do you know you're in America if you don't hear an eagle?
Sure. With just enough reverb that it doesn't sound like, wow, you can hear the empty expanse of the desert. Because it's just a... And then it stops. It doesn't even trail off where you're like, I can chalk this up. Because I went, surely this bird is coming up enough times. It's going to make an appearance. No.
There were no animals.
None.
Not nary a one.
The desert is such a beautiful place for animal and wildlife. There was a skull of a cow.
Steer.
Sure. Because you know how many steer skulls you see in the desert.
Like just skulls. No rest bones. Just the skulls.
Which I would love to chalk up and say, oh, yeah, it's like those. It links back to the cow mutilations. But even that happened in like farm country.
Yeah. Like that had happened closer to town where the farm was.
Yeah. You've heard about that, right?
Not specifically.
It's another thing.
I thought you were talking about the plot point where Jimmy brings up that something's been eating its livestock.
No. It's
his livestock.
It made me think of it at that time that for it was like not too far. It was in like the recent past.
Okay.
Where there was a series of these cattle mutilations where these livestock cows and bulls mm-hmm. would be killed, or they would be found lifeless with like parts of their body and skin missing, but no blood. Like one of the cows was dead, but like still in like an upright sitting position, not upright, but like where its head was still upright.
And mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know what happens when things die. Typically gravity takes over. And this one was just like it always had been, like was just sitting perfectly still.
Mm-hmm.
and how so many of these events have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And no scavengers came by to like pick at the corpses. Like there was nothing, no body. But now, like the places where the, because like you're not going to clean that up and eat it or dispose of it. You're just going to kind of let it decompose on your land.
Yeah.
And a lot of those times, those farmers leave those bones there just because it's freaky.
I'm going to let my cow die, and then I'll let the cow bones be scarecrows. It'll save me money on both cow funerals and scarecrows.
That's just a waste of time.
I don't know why my impression of all farmers is apparently George W. Bush.
I mean, he is from Texas. Anyways, that is another alien tangent for you.
I will say I wasn't bored. I was more just unimpressed. Like, I really wish the animation had been more up to snuff. Because I wish
the animation wasn't there. Even if it had been stills, like thumbnails. What is the word I'm looking for? Like a storyboard.
Uh-huh.
That would have been way more engaging.
Yeah. Just something like it was just because they clearly didn't have the budget to do something really extravagant. A lot of like the backgrounds of shots are kind of dull.
Like the one thing that they got surprisingly correct are like particles.
Yeah, like there was
fog and fire.
Yeah, because it's the desert, it's sort of just like large expanses of nothing. Or they're just like people in a car.
Because it's not even like they could have done an Archer type thing where it's a, here is something that is hand drawn, but there are so few frames in between each action that yeah. It is a little choppy, but
I almost would have preferred like a flash animation. Yeah. Yeah. Than this like really rough 3D style.
Oof.
Yeah, just
it just hurt. It hurt to watch.
Well, it's funny that you say that because that's sort of what when they reanimate some of the first and second Doctor stories.
Yeah,
that's how they do it. Is they do it in a flash animation style. They don't do this like 3D thing.
Good.
Like it's still a little stiff, but there is a part of it where like that feels appropriate to, you know, 60s Doctor Who.
Well, that you can forgive stiff.
Yeah.
You can forgive something that doesn't have a lot of time put into it.
Mm-hmm.
If it still is visually compelling.
Yeah. Well, in that case, there isn't episodes remaining, most of them still have
audio.
They all have audio, mostly because they were super Doctor Who fans were like immediate. And so when they were on TV, there were kids that were recording the audio so they could listen back to it later.
Wait, that's so cute.
Yeah. That's how basically all the audio for 60s episodes survived was because
that's
people recorded
so
it off
charming.
The TV. Yeah, it was before VCRs really, but there were the technology to record
but
audio.
You could absolutely tape.
Yeah, but there are I can't remember what the term for it is, but basically there are individual images from each episode that sometimes will be all the episode you can get is the like stitched together still images.
Yeah.
And so the animations are usually to those images, like they are meant to just recreate that image in the moments in between. So there is a bit of like you can forgive the stiffness because what it's recreating is a still image.
And this is something that existed once upon a time and the visual for it is no longer with us. So this is the best we can do.
Yes.
This has no excuse because everybody involved, to my knowledge, is still alive, breathing and well.
Yes. Yeah, to my knowledge as well. And, you know, everyone.
The thing that is the most upsetting is I love taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
And like something that I've really come to appreciate, especially now with my new job. I'm an art instructor for those of you who don't know. But I've realized now, like after sitting in a couple of classes and teaching a class and, you know, seeing my favorite paintings that people have created are the ones that look so not like what I painted. Like there was
with the guy that made that fucked up little man instead
so
of the moon.
So the original painting is it's like a rainbow river. It's like two halves of one canvas. One side is like green, blue. The other is pink, orange, purple. And they meet in the middle with this like galactic heart This man is doing it and decides that he is just going to paint in the heart. Didn't like how his heart came out. And then he put a sad little face. And I went, oh, no, the face is so sad. And he went, yeah, I'm not really feeling it. I went, I mean, for what it's worth, I love what you're doing. I feel like I want to talk to him. But then as the evening went on, he just made this little scary heart man scarier and scarier. And by the end of it, I went up and I went, I feel like I owe him money.
I feel like he's picking on me. He called me stupid and fat.
But and then there was another one that was like a lighthouse on a hillside. And there was like an oceanic scape. My favorite painting from that room mm-hmm. was somebody painting in. He went all out. There was a UFO in the sky, a Loch Ness monster, Sasquatch up on the very tippy top of the hill, and then SpongeBob and Patrick in the sand on the beach.
Wow.
And I was like, I love this because this is such a far stone's throw from what the original is supposed to be. There were other peoples that did a really decent job.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that I have a special skill where I can look at the painting, do it once or twice, and then after that, I can do it perfect.
Infinite times.
Yeah. And that's just because that is how my brain is wired, and I forget other people's brain is not wired for art mm-hmm. in the same way.
Yeah.
And this reminded me quite a bit of that, where if they had taken something, even if they wanted to, in this particular case, we're using new audio, new story.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had done something that did not feel remotely similar to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because something about choosing the 3D animation makes it feel like it's just trying to be an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had taken it and said, here is audio from an episode that we want to do. We are using this as a way of celebrating David Tennant, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
We want the fans to have an input.
Like we took,
we're going to release this audio out to the general public and we're going to do a compilation of fan drawings that go with, or like,
yeah.
you know, stills, animations, whatever it is. Like those episodes, because some shows do that. Archer did it once. Bob's Burgers did it once.
Yeah.
It's choppy as hell. There is nothing congruous about it. It is so fucking charming, though.
Yeah. You're right. This does just feel like it's trying to be an episode. There's no justification for it to be 3D.
No, there is not.
It sort of just felt like they didn't want to pay to film in the desert, which is a very weird thing to do.
Like, it's my only justification for it is the fact that it happens in and on Area 51.
Yeah.
You could literally also just record the entire episode in a concrete warehouse tunnel.
Yeah.
And say, this is Area 51. No, ain't nobody been there. We don't know what it looked like.
Yeah, it felt like maybe they wanted to do something with the Viperox that they couldn't do normally. But even then, just make the Viperox look different.
They literally refer to them as cockroach monsters. There is somebody in New York that made a giant cardboard cockroach costume and wears it around in the subway. This person is my fucking hero. They made the little arms articulate so it can like flick out and like flick forward, and they have little antennae, and it's amazing. You could literally make the Viperox giant cockroaches. It's not hard.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, is it does not justify the animation, and the animation isn't good enough to justify it being
the animation being this way. Is not charming whatsoever.
Yeah.
It is gross. It's off-putting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have a really stellar story.
Yeah.
Because we've seen this show do some really spectacular things.
Yeah.
We've seen the Earth blow up several times. You know, we've seen a planet made completely out of crystal. Like, we've seen some, like, inhuman things. The desert is not something that warrants, say, like, we can't go out there.
Yeah, it's not.
Because even the little, like, gray aliens that they had, the two, like, married couple, which, sick to see that even, if gray aliens are us in the far off future, we're still marrying and having,
yeah, we're still heterosexual.
Yeah, we're still heterosexual and call each other by our full government names.
Yeah, every time we talk to one another. Isn't that right?
I love you, Zach Hurst.
I love you too, Cassandra Paige Shima.
Cassandra.
Cassandra. That's when you're made. That's when you get baked in the oven.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's what happens when I become a pastry. What would you be?
Probably a little cupcake.
But that doesn't sound like your
name. No, apple fritter.
A Zach cookie.
I'd be an apple fritter. A Zachel fritter.
That doesn't even kind of go with your name.
It's okay. It goes with my personality.
It goes with your personality.
I too am a little toasted and covered in sugar.
And full of apples.
Full of apples.
Mm. Diced apples and cinnamon.
That's me. Welcome to this episode of Who Is My Pastry? What kind of pastry is David Tennant?
Oh my God. Thank you for asking. He's a cronut.
Speaking of David Tennant, did they make him even skinnier in this?
Yes, they did. They had a shot of him lying down and he fully looked like. Do you remember when the Fantastic Four movie came out and they had McDonald's toys for it?
No, I don't.
Well, when the Chris Evans Fantastic Four movie came out, they had McDonald's toys for it. And Mr. Fantastic was obviously. Wait, no, I'm getting it confused. Because for a fact, they had Incredibles toys.
Okay.
So I might be getting Mrs. Incredible mixed up with.
Okay, look it up real quick.
Mr. Fantastic. Anyways, but they had these like very long noodle arms, not quite Stretch Armstrong, because Stretch Armstrong still is like kind of buff, like in a weird way. He's so strong. But this particular 3D rendering of David Tennant did make him look a little bit like a toy, which was an odd choice.
Yeah.
They made him even skinnier, even taller. Everybody was strangely very tall.
Yeah. One thing
that I'm also wondering too, if it would have been cute if they made everybody like chibi. And the doctor just had to be like, weird universe one.
Yeah, if the animation was way more stylized, that would be interesting. Like, or if they, I feel like if they had set it in a place where you just doesn't work for live action, like if they wanted to set it like, oh, we've
in Antarctica,
like the doctor's in the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like
the doctor became a video game.
Yeah. So the background is all like abstract.
The doctor is also in a digital circus.
So the background is all like abstract, like shapes.
The background is pipes.
Yeah. It's just the Windows XP hill.
The background is fish tank.
Yeah, just, you know, something that isn't just like a plain desert. Like the fact that it's just set in New Mexico.
Place to record.
Yeah, it just felt weird. Yeah, it just felt very weird.
Because I could even see like furthering that if they did set it in a place that was inhospitable, like an Antarctic setting, like the middle of a volcano. Even still, we've seen episodes in the middle of a volcano.
Yeah, for sure.
But if it was something like that, where it's a like, ooh, we can't take a film crew to down into the glaciers.
Yeah, there's no we expect us to fly all the way to America to film this
show.
You
expect us to go to Utah and say that it's New Mexico?
Even then, find a desert. They all kind of look the same.
Yeah. I mean, depending on where you're at.
Yeah. There are some fun ideas, like just the idea of the doctor going to Roswell, meeting the gray alien, flying a flying saucer. Those are all like fun little ideas. I can see
the
why
the doctor busting out of a fucking handcuff via a trick that Houdini taught him.
Yeah.
We are one of these fucking days. We're getting a Houdini story.
I like the big bug queen, the Viperox queen.
Yeah, nobody told me there was going to be sex appeal in this.
Thorax appeal in this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just huge and blue and surrounded by eggs.
She has a crown, but not. It's just part of her skull.
Yeah, like if you told me that the Viperox queen was the reason they were like, well, we can't do this in live action. We already have our big bug lady and we used her in the second season.
I would say, okay, I believe that. But also, that was negligent. We did not need to see her.
Yeah.
That did not warrant whatever this train wreck of a show which, like, this is one of the rare occasions where I did not write a lot of notes, not because I was captivated and interested, but because I was like, this is just, ugh.
Yeah, it does feel a little, it feels inconsequential.
The first thing I wrote down was simply, ugh, I can't look.
Yeah, it feels inconsequential. Like, this is definitely taking place in that period between dropping off Donna and his finale. Like, in that period of time where he doesn't actually have a companion yet. But because of that, it doesn't really feel like it matters at all.
And that's, no.
Like, it doesn't feel like it's important to the character.
There were a couple pretty solid lines.
Yeah.
Specifically, smell of fast food in the desert air. Aroma of America.
Yeah.
I went, wow, yeah. If that's your impression of the U.S., pretty spot on. Or my other favorite, there's only one cure for a communist, and that's a bullet. That might be the most American thing I have ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah. What it needed? It needed for Cassie or Jimmy to have a character arc.
Oh, my God. It needed them to have character, period.
Yeah, like they
charisma, they at didn't the very least.
There wasn't really anything that they gained or learned or...
She loses her town and just goes, oh, no, my town.
Yeah. And in the end, at the end of it, they're like, I think she'll need a hand. And he's like, well, she's got it.
She's already got one.
And they hold hands. And I'm like, when was that even hinted at that you two are like into each other?
Also, the fact that it's like, where are these two young, like, hot individuals? What are they doing in the middle of the fucking desert? And also, does his grandfather live in the cave with the alien?
Also, quick question. Did no one else work in that diner but the waitress? Because when they left, they're the only two people that ran out with the doctor. There was no cook in the back. There was nobody else working there.
I mean, I have worked in places where business is so slow that I'm manning the front and the back.
Yeah, but you never ran a diner, like, okay, an American
Zach,
diner.
I don't think you recognize and recall my time working at the hookah bar.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you made crepes. You weren't making, like, egg sausage.
I was making full-on sandwiches and, like, paninis.
I guess that's fair. It just felt
like... I didn't have a grill top, but my job would have been a hell of a lot easier if I did.
It just felt like a heck of a lot for a place that served.
Yeah, but if it's so slow and you turn on all your shit, you're good. Oh, we did kind of gloss over some of the other things that you and I both... should have clocked, but didn't.
Okay.
That there was both a ghost town and a mine cart.
Yeah, we should have thought about some more Midwest American.
Not Midwest, like Western.
Yeah, Old West American iconography.
Because there were those two things that I went, damn, should have thought that. And also, I don't think, this might have been when you were snoozing.
I only snoozed for like maybe 2 seconds.
You see the moment when Saruba Valak and the doctor escaped the government vault by by lifting up a box? The doctor unscrews the box from the bottom so that way they can crawl out of it a la Toy Story 2. And the doctor's excuse is, well, don't you catch steps? I count my steps. Because they're escaping a brain made of flies? Hello? Were we not gonna talk about that?
The brain made of flies?
You saw it.
I think I did.
You were asleep then.
Maybe I was.
Also, we didn't mention at all that the freaking, like, Colonel's intention is to reform and modify this alien, like, weapon so that way he can have it coded to blow up the Russians.
It does seem kind of strange that the Colonel's plan involves an alien weapon that is supposed to kill things based off of DNA. Does he think the Russians have different DNA than Americans?
I suppose so.
I mean, I understand that, you know, you'll say that people in the American military might not be the smartest if you're trying to do like a trope, but I feel like that might be a bridge too far.
Disney has a whole ride dedicated to how there is just one moon and one golden sun. It's a small world after all. We are all the same. All the children hold hands. The town is so small. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's a lot of this requires more buy-in than I think the typical Doctor Who episode. And I wonder if they thought they could get away with that because it was done over like 6 minute chunks. So you'd be watching those week to week and you're not sitting here thinking about how the whole story pieces together until you're watching all of it. I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, I feel like a lot of there's a part of me that's glad that this isn't like in the canon necessarily. I mean, Doctor Who's a weird thing where everything and nothing is canon.
Yeah.
Like they did a series of shorts recently where they let some of the old cast come back to just kind of like talk and hang out more or less.
Yeah.
And in one of them, the Seventh Doctor, one of them confronts the Seventh Doctor like, hey, you seem kind of old in this time. And he's like, yeah, timelines are funny things. Sometimes I regenerate and sometimes I don't, which is just like, yeah, nothing fucking matters. We're a silly show about time and space. Everything can be true.
Yeah.
So in the grand scheme of things, there's a part of me that's glad that this is
inconsequential.
This is inconsequential. I mean, I wish it had more consequence to the characters, but if it's not going to be, at least it's not consequential to the show.
Like it is something I recognize why. Who wanted us to watch this?
There was someone on, I believe it was on Twitter, messaged us asking if we would do it. And I said, Noelle, since you asked, we'll do it.
I recognize why, because this is definitely something that is, it is something that I would like to talk to somebody else other than you about. I want to meet the person who is like very, who likes this and not in an ironic way. Yeah. Because you can like something in an ironic way, fully recognizing and understanding that it's hot garbage.
I would like to talk to someone who watched it when it was coming out.
Mm, yes, that
like
too.
someone who has like a nostalgia for it.
Well, that's also a little bit different because if you have something that you like, because that's like me with Master of Disguise. It is not a good movie.
No, it's not.
It is absolutely not. Do I quote that daily? yes I do. I whipped
and
out
even,
a quote
and not even
it.
Like quotes that you think would come up every day. The one that you seem to quote the most is man-sized meatballs.
I think that's just one of my stims, dude. Am I going too fast for you?
So, kids, what we've learned today is that it's not vaccines that cause autism. It's Dana Carvey's Master of Disguise.
It's your dad's growing up in the 60s.
RFK Jr., I have good news. It's not the vaccines. It's 2004 comedy film Master of Disguise starring Dana Carvey and Brent Spiner.
It's a stupid movie. Oh, man. Do you want to watch that next?
Well, first we got to watch the next season of Doctor Who, because we're going to do that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Wait. We're watching the whole season in one episode?
I mean, not in one episode, but I am going to tie you here to the couch and make you watch it all in one sitting.
Oh, no.
Monty, bring me the duct tape.
Wait, you're involving the cats now, too. Ah, jeez, how am I going to take notes? No.
We're not actually going to do it all in one sitting, even. I don't want to do that.
That sounds horrific.
There's a valuable lesson in today's episode. When you're going to record a podcast, make sure you're getting adequate sleep. Otherwise, you'll nod off for a minute or get killer migraines when you're editing. Basically, what I'm saying is take care of yourself. And one way you can be good to yourself is by subscribing to this podcast, maybe even giving it 5 stars or leaving a nice review wherever you're listening now. If you'd like to support this show more directly, you can join the likes of Andrew Blewett and David Gansel over on our Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Next week, we're starting Series 6 proper, so if you're interested in hearing that right now, head on over to patreon.com/whoismydoctor. Otherwise, we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.